Hello, everyone. Today I have a special guest, Nadine. Introduce yourself.
Hello. Yes, I'm Nadine Gutierrez and I'm a game dev, currently working as a VFX artist. But yes, I'm from Barcelona, well, a small town close to Barcelona, Spain. And yeah, I've been in the industry for a year and a half nowadays, so hopefully I can share lots of different skills and my experience so far, also relating things to university, which is quite, it was quite nice. So thank you so much for having me here in this podcast. And yeah,
Yeah,
we'll
of
see.
course. So I wanted to I asked my all my guests, take us through your journey, right? Where did it spark, and where did the spark happen? And take us through, your childhood all the way to where you are right
Well, I was born.
now.
So yeah, I can say during all my life I've been just playing games. Like I grew up with playing lots of Nintendo games. We had many Nintendo consoles in the house and playing with my brother, so that was quite nice. And then it was when I was in high school that I was starting to think like, okay, so what about if we can do like this a work, like a job? So we started to with my family to take a look at job opportunity and how to study and degrees and everything. And we came up with something like, okay, so there was a big step from gaming to game dev, like, okay, so this is happening. So that was a really nice experience, and I was quite helpful, grateful for all the support and everything. But yeah, so basically I define myself as a very artistic person, but also I liked all of these tech this tech area, all the logical algorithms, everything. So I would say like my father used to work as a programmer for all, like with all languages and everything, like BASIC, for example. He used to do like his own programs for bakery shops and everything in the area. So he showed me a little bit of like, hey, this is a code, this is language. So it was a bit nice to sneak peek that while growing up. I didn't get into it like falling into programming or something like that, not until starting university. But yeah, so that I think that's how I ended up in here, like just liking games. I like we're making them as well, with all the creativity, imagination, everything that you can put into games. And then with all these artistic and probably logical backgrounds, so here I am. Let's
Wow.
see.
And so with all of this scope almost of interest, right, that goes all the way to game dev, as we see with the reel that we're showing in the display right now. What would you say is the job? How would you even put a title to what you can do or what you're hired to
Well, the title is obviously defined by the job description and
do?
everything. The thing is that I think it's what you can give like more to that job. Like for example, nowadays I'm working as a VFX artist, but maybe I'm able to read some code, for example, and just take that code and just use it for VFX, for example. Or like with this specifically a case of level design that we are seeing. If you have some knowledge about game design, for example, or level design, you can also bring that to composition, for example, or level design techniques, like using it as player guidance, like for some breadcrumbs, composition, or something. So, yes, currently I'm working as a VFX artist. I could do like some tech art, like basic tech art. At least I don't have like any professional experience as a tech artist or something in the industry. But yeah, I can bring different type of knowledge, maybe some to work some problems around in different ways. So yeah,
But
kind of fine.
that's
Yeah.
very valuable in a team. That's what you're describing is exactly what I do. I also have background in game design and level design, and I've created the game before. And so taking that and working as a visual effect artist, you're kind of involved in a lot of the things. Like in one of the latest projects I worked on, I was involved in designing a part of the game that made it all the way till the end of the game. Although I'm a visual effect artist, and it's like if you if like I can't even put it on my resume, right? It feels a little weird. So what do you suggest to people who do all those things to put on their resumes, and should they mention all of those, like, unrelated to VFX in their resumes and things like that?
So yes, I do have an opinion about this. If you're literally graduated from university and you want to land your first job, sure, you need to prepare your CV according to the job that you're applying. You can put like some related things, like if you're applying for a BFX, you can put like some, I don't know, more technical side like Houdini, like procedurality, because maybe you're going to use it and blend it. And Houdini is also using BFX. So there's a connection in that that it's valid. But yeah, if you're applying for a 3D art position and you're including programming skills, yeah, that's not going to work really well. Like if you want, because you have want to show what you can do for that job.
Yeah,
That's
exactly.
the first thing. So you will need to prepare all of your CV in order to, hey, I can do this job, no matter if you have like extra knowledge, but you can do that. So for example, like this reel that you're seeing, it's basically my university projects, some of them in a big group, some of them like two people, and others it's just me doing and practicing things. So that was mainly like my entry CV when I was looking for a job, specifically as a technical artist back then. But nowadays, now I'm working as a BFX artist, so I will in the future just try to specialize my CV more in BFX related. So it depends also, like, again, like where you are at which point. If you literally graduated, you want to land your first job, or if you want to like your professionalism, if that's a word. So yes, I would say that.
We'll get to it, but you mentioned that you're doing a little indie project. But first, let's get into, like, why VFX? What got you into real-time VFX?
What got me into VFX? Okay, so there's one specific thing that I really like, which is interactability with players. So, I mean, yeah, VFX looks cool. That's the first thing you see, not just in video games, also in movies. But just you can give this power to the player, like with some interactability. You can just get lots of different parameters from the game, different algorithms and everything from other people, and just create an effect. There's going to be satisfying, beautiful to see, maybe appealing. It's not going to be like gameplay related. Maybe it's going to be like beautiful to see and just to, I don't know, to support the environment or something like that. But again, for me, it's really important when you can give the player some input. They can trigger this effect if they do that, if they press X or something. So it's basically giving the power to them, like, oh, I can be like this epic, this cool. So I would say that was one of the reasons. It's linked about procedurality basically, and logic, creating art in logical ways. So I wanted to explore a little bit, did a bit of shaders, procedurality, and then of course my first BFX, and then I got hired. So
Wow.
yeah.
Immediately. Wow, that's amazing. And so when was that, like, project that convinced you that this is definitely the path for you? So, you got the job. What was that moment, that you were like, okay, nah, this is exactly what I want to do?
Yeah, so when I was working as a technical artist for like in my previous job, it was not video game industry related, but I was like, okay, I want to start doing like expanding this tech art, and then I got into VFX shaders as well, and then I started to do my first VFX, like my first exercises, everything, learning with some resources. But the moment was like when I got the offer, like I was applying to different companies in order to get BFX job, shaders job, and tech art. Like I was going to be very happy with those. But again, discovering, like practicing more BFX and everything, that was quite nice. And I got really happy when the moment, I mean, basically the moment was when I got like, hey, we want you in our team. So, and I knew like, okay, that's happening. I'm going to the UK. So I would say that was the moment, like, okay, I'm going to learn lots of VFX. So let's go.
Wow. So this passion of, like, expanding that skill and bringing it to different realms that kept you going, right? Like, especially when you have such a background before you started with VFX, like, game development. Do you still use that, with your current, like, Do you feel like you could scale your effects because you have that background?
Definitely. Like again, I'm just like a junior nowadays. Like I have 1.5 year in the industry, so I'm still trying to get used to not some methodologies, but also some pacing and everything and tools. So yeah, I'm starting to sometimes I nitpick some code because I can do that.
Cool.
Even if I'm not supposed to, like in the effectual positions. Like sometimes yes, you're supposed to, but it's like, okay, let's see like this gameplay thing or something. And I can see and just try things. I can try it whenever I have like some time. So yeah, definitely this can just scale. Again, it's not about knowing everything. We don't have to obsess, which is a really bad thing. So just one thing at a time. And yeah, as more as you know, like you will be, you could create more things basically with more data.
Yeah, honestly, like the tools that we use are sometimes limiting and or limited. Like for example, if we're using Unity and the team is, they all agree to use that certain version of Unity, which has limitation in its own visual effect graph, but none of the developers really care as long as the game is stable. Sometimes you need to get your hands dirty with code. However, it's like you said, it's not. I think it's not about suppose or you're not supposed to. It's more about if it is mandatory for your role, but it is definitely a nice to have to be able to code. So I was able like to counter like how to say how I was able to solve that problem with code, although like the graph wasn't allowing me to work with the with that version to do what I wanted it to do.
Yeah, sometimes like tools can be like, it's not the first time that I'm trying to follow a tutorial in order to learn something. And because of the little tiny issue with the versions and something that the devs change, it's like that's not keeping you, you can't progress in that tutorial. So that's good for researching problems in the internet. If you're working with Unity, Unreal, there's a massive community and you can try looking for what's the problem. But yeah, when you work with custom tools, it's a bit harder, but yeah.
Honestly, I give up on like following tutorials one by one. Like I give up on having this hope that I will get everything from one tutorial, and I've always like had this no like I made the norm in my head is that I will probably have to ask someone or probably have to research something. So I never go and watch a tutorial without like having that in mind so I don't get disappointed.
Definitely.
So yeah, since we're talking about resources and learning, like what resources, like you mentioned tutorials, but like is there books or communities, specific communities that you've been, checking or been most valuable for you in stepping up your skills?
So, of course, like in university, you learn the basics and the tools from teachers, guests sometimes that can just come to the university and talk to the students, which is grateful, like really useful. But I would say like I have many resources specifically to get more into VFX and shaders as well. So one thing that really helped me was Freya Holmer. It's a YouTube, well, I mean it's a girl who does like some streamings, and she has a YouTube channel and she has an awesome
She's
shader
amazing.
series. Yeah, and also mathematics as well. So that's great. That's useful.
And
And
super
there
funny too. Like I don't know how she's like how can you be so funny? I don't get
yeah, I mean, I really like the way she explained and everything. And it's like she might be explaining like a really abstract concept and she opens Photoshop and it's like, that's it.
So
And
cool.
yeah, it actually works. So I really like her. Yeah, so yeah, more tutorials. Sometimes I'm mentoring in game jams with students, specifically if they are like the first years of like first year or second year of university. I recommend Benjamin Sui, another he has like shaders, shaders for Unity. The thing is that he opens the code and you can see like the changes in real time. It's not just following a tutorial with a shader graph or something.
That's
So
cool.
that's nice. And more related to VFX, Gabriel Aguiar,
Of
which I think
course.
was a guest in this podcast. So Yeah, that was useful to follow some tutorials of him in order to learn the very beginning. That was useful. Then there's of course some like lots of books, different books, and mathematics as well. It's very important, I would say. There are different books out there. I would say, in my opinion, or at least what I do, it's you can get a book, but just don't get obsessed with just reading everything. Just take one thing. It's a tool to just have it in here, like use it when you need to, or maybe because you want to learn something. Sure, you can just pick it up and everything. But yeah, so besides books and everything, not just about maths, but many others, GDC videos, I found them like quite useful, not just for checking the state of the industry, like the what pipelines, what workflows, tools, or what other teams need. It's also for motivation. Like there are lots of career talks, lots of inspiration talks, like, hey, don't worry, things will break. Just have to keep going, basically. So these are some of them. And besides resources, of course, it's really nice talking to people. That's definitely like they are the knowledge, they are the experience. So I would recommend to people talking with experienced people already in the industry so they can guide you a little bit. For example, I did that with when I was looking for technical art positions, like investigating a little bit, and they just gave me like all of the sub-disciplines, what it means to be in that role position. So you can explore with those people and then you can choose, okay, what do I want based on the knowledge that I've learned. So talking to people, just do game jams, talk to your teachers, talk to your teammates at work, because they know like lots of different pipelines and they maybe work in different industry, like not industries, sorry, companies, and they did things a bit different maybe. So yeah, there are lots of resources out there, free resources, also paid ones. I know like there are like lots of different courses that you can pay as well. I would say if you want like something quite straightforward and you can't find like free resources, or it's like just videos 3 hour long trying to explain like a 20-minute concept, I think it's worth it if you want something quite straightforward. But again, prioritize always free resources because they are a lot and you can learn and progress. So
I mean, it depends on the person. Like, for me, I get so distracted. Like, my brain cannot fathom how many resources that there are out there, and this freedom kind of scares the shit out of me. And so when I never get to start. That's my problem. Like, I never get to start on those free resources because there's just a lot of them and they're scattered between like different creators. And I could see how other people could see, like, look at this and be like, yeah, that's perfect. That's exactly what I want. But the problem with me, I'm like, no, that's exactly what I don't want. Like, I need one resource. Like, I need one curriculum. I need people that make money out of this, you know, that they put all their effort into it and not just say, yeah, you know, this is for free and it's gonna make it out there. I need to be also be able to hold myself accountable and say, you know, like, you paid for this. You worked a month for this. And you paid for it, and now you're gonna sit down and learn it because you paid for it. It's not gonna go for nothing, right? It's just how my brain works. And I think it maybe is like related to ADHD or some attachment stuff. It's just it is how it works. So I encourage people to do both. Like, if that works for you, I think free stuff, there's so much amazing, like, informative, more than paid stuff, right? Out there are just completely for free, especially like GDC talks that put so much of the knowledge out there, and you could really pick up like keywords and research them on your own. Like,
Yes.
you could get so much information just from hearing someone talking. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And here's the thing, like, there's resources, right? But then there's motivation. So what kept you motivated, you know, getting a book and opening that book and like looking exactly for what you wanted? What kept that fire going?
Well, purely like, I mean, games. But yeah, it's mostly, as a general way of saying, probably it's like learning. I like to learn new things. I like to explore how things work. So just, you know, like playing all my life. When I was a kid, basically, you bump all of these colliders out of the edge of the map, and it's like, okay, I can't go there. But then at some point, you start asking, okay, just why?
Why?
what's there? Like, how does it work? So this is just like a little example, but it applies like to lots of things. So if I'm working on something, if I'm, for example, making a project at university, it's like all the passion, like we motivate each other, like working with people, it's also motivating, empowering. And on my own, it's, you know, basically I want to create what I can imagine, if I can, but sometimes it's like, okay, you need to learn lots of things in order to do what you really want, because you can start copying things in order to learn, but then you want to create things. So you need to progress in that. So yeah, it's all about learning and progressing. So that's motivating me and seeing the results that I'm getting. Like if you take a look back, like, oh, what I did last year, maybe not too much, but I've learned something. So it's a little bit more sometimes. And with that, I'm not saying that you shouldn't take breaks. Take breaks, definitely. But yeah, it's about discovering what you can do, and it's making games after all.
Yeah, I think if that's your goal, then that's a way bigger goal, in my opinion, than just like, you know, what other people might have. Like, I want to show my friends how cool I can do this, right? If you have the bigger goal to just make games, then you are up for a way more sustained dopamine, like, gain, or like, how to say, like, when it comes to game development, it doesn't matter really what skill you're learning, because it will all go in there. But if you're more specialized, let's say you're learning a character art, or like, any like super specialized skill, you will feel maybe that you're wasting your time, or that you failed in one thing. But when your bigger goal is like make games, I feel like that is way more sustainable resource. Let's see, next question. Or is there something you want to add?
Like just as an example, it's like, I would compare it to people who does the work and that's it. Let's say like in a working environment. And then there's like the people that want to know, like, hey, how is the project going? Like,
yeah.
What that meeting with, I don't know, game design programmers, what they decide, like, you want to know how the game or the project or whatever progresses. Which is something I realized in university, because you could see like many different processes and everything. But yeah, just as a little point in there.
Absolutely right. So my next question will be about that figure in your life that is like almost like the mentor figure. It doesn't have to be like a paid mentorship or whatever. It could also be someone who you found online, and, you know, were able to help you. Is there any figure that you would say was the mentor?
So, yes. And actually, I currently have the same mentor. We randomly met. The industry is quite small, but we randomly met like 3.5 years ago by now. And it was quite nice because he supported me through my decisions, specifically when I was finishing university and I was trying to focus like, okay, what do I want to do? Because I have like many branches in here. What direction, even if I don't have the exact path, what direction for now do I want to? So he was like really helpful for that. And he ended up offering lots of guidance, advice, because he was already in the industry for a long time. So that was gold, basically, to have like a one-to-one, basically, for someone experience. So he helped me a lot. Also, like preparing a little bit the portfolio and everything, like what I was saying, like, okay, focus this portfolio more on what you're applying. So that was awesome. And also, he has some connections that he can introduce to you, industry connections. You can talk to them and start building like a social network, kind of. So yeah, it was it's really helpful to have a mentor. It doesn't have to be paid. I mean, you just need to talk to people. I would say I got a bit lucky to meet him, but yeah, you can definitely seek for mentors as well.
Yeah, I think mentors are like you said, it doesn't really have to be paid for. I also have a mentor in art, and through him, I got to know like a lot of cool people and a lot about art too, right? Like how. The thing about VFX is that you can take any skill and just expand on it, which is pretty cool. Like he taught me about illustrations and stylization and how many styles there are, which is something at the moment when it comes to visual effects, in my opinion, there's almost like only three styles. Like you have the cartoony stylized riot type of style, you have the semi stylized, and then you have the realistic. And rarely you see anything that is pushing like the boundaries of those because of the resources that we, you know, that are very rigid with how they teach, in my opinion. So I was able to be more fluid with my styles when it comes to VFX. And it's all thanks to him. Although like he has nothing to do with like... tech art or whatever, but I was still able to carry that from my 2D background, right?
Yeah, like I think that's also very nice because in my case, like he's more specialized in production, so he kind of helped me directly with tools and procedures. Like sure, he saw lots of how people make things, but maybe like not how you get into the tools and everything. So he recommended me to speak to some people. And in order to, okay, I know this person can help you. So I'm introducing this to you so you can talk and ask all of the questions that you might have. So yeah, definitely useful.
Yeah, because, you know, in production, you have the overview, you know, who's doing what and with which tool and for how, you know, you also have the results of was it faster before or faster after? Was it more efficient to the team before that tool or after? So they definitely can give you like the pointers. So yeah, it's just amazing to have someone that you could talk to about those things, because like the world, most of the world is not making games. Like, right, Nadine? Like no one, don't go to the street and everybody's making games. Like that. It's easy to get like to... Not to forget, but it's easy to... The norm is almost that you're surrounding yourself with non-game developers, right? And you need to constantly be seeking that.
Yeah, like in a general... Yeah, like it's not the first thing you might think of. Like, okay, I need a job. Like also because of generations and everything. Like maybe 20 years ago, it was like, okay, kid, you're not getting a job in... games because it was like, okay, this is gaming, it's entertaining, like but no, nowadays it's a job, but maybe it's not that common, but yeah, it's sometimes you need to seek for these people unless you go to I don't know, like conferences and everything, because it's hard to bump them up in the street in some cases. I would say
how much would you say have you like encountered women in real-time VFX or women in like game development, and how was that experience when you saw like another woman and were you able to relate to each other?
So yeah, kind of. I would say like the first time that I felt this, it was university. When I entered the first day of class, like with, I don't know, we were like 40 people, 40 students, and I was like, okay, we're three people, we're three women here. So at least you just approach them, I don't know, just a little bit. But just right after starting university, again, with this first experience, it's to me, it doesn't matter that much, because after all, you're going to talk with everyone in the class about what you really like, which is making games. So you have everything in common, most hobbies and everything. And it's all about just communication, respecting each other and everything. So I know nowadays in the industry, there are like so many activities and, you know, empowering women, women who are not feeling that, I don't know, confident into entering into a male-dominated industry, if you want to call it like that. Like, I'm just calling it like that because there are a lot more males than females, just the numbers. And yeah, it's changing nowadays. And yeah, there are some events such as, for example, last year I went to Women of Xbox UK, which is like, well, we did like some meetup, like this internal, like GDCs, like some industry does. Like it was just player on games and other studios like Rare or Ninja Theory as well. So we just gather up. We talked about not necessarily like woman, but also like giving opportunities to have leadership positions, for example, which is also important. And I would say it's important to consider women in leadership positions as well, because it might be not that common nowadays, even if that's changing. But in my opinion, it doesn't have to be like obsessed with that. But yeah, there are lots of resources. Also, many companies start like supporting not just women, but also like LGBTQ plus roles. And and that's very nice because everyone can be included. Like also with different type of, I don't know, people coming from around the world. So the important thing is that you need to be included. You need to feel that you're included. So,
of course.
Yeah, there are lots of opportunities to, I wouldn't say opportunities, it's a bad word to say. But yeah, definitely.
I agree with you. I think like games have been, or they're slowly becoming or became an echo chamber almost, that we see the same games all the time, like the same concepts, different numbers. And the reason for that is like just, in my opinion, like lack of diversity within the team. Like, and I'm not saying like we should look for like specifically looking for like women and LGBTQ people without looking into the, you know, into their CVs. But what I'm saying is, if there's like 10 people applying and one of them is with the same skills like the others, is maybe a woman, consider them. Consider having them. Like, why not, right? And like, even if they lack in skills, what they're gonna bring in diversity and like different problem solving and like their background is gonna just be so unique for the end product, you know. It's unique in its own, because if we are all just like Chris and David's making games, right, the games will be Chris and David's. That's it,
all of them same essence, I would say.
Yeah. Pretty much. Like, and it's just like, especially games from the 2010s, like Assassin's Creed 2, for example, where they, like, women are presented literally as objects. Like, you could literally like click on a group of four women to hire them to be basically, I don't know, dancing around you. And I'm like, there was no woman on this project, right? You know, like, no one was consulting with any woman here, right? And the answer is like, yeah, basically. And yeah, that is just so unfortunate, because games do sculpt cultures, in my opinion. And
yeah, definitely.
Like, they're the ultimate yes, in my opinion. Like, also with Arabs, like, I'm an Arab. They've done a lot of damaging for Arabs. Like, all the bad guys in Call of Duty games were fucking Arabs, right? Like, how much damage did that do for us? Like, when we go to an airport and they see our name and they're like, "Nah, we need to make a random check, just because of my name," you know? And as much as I love games, but like, we need to seriously like start right now to put more diverse people and just like get all those perspectives in games, because we are making games from, like, people are, how to say, it is from the people to the people. But if you're specifically selecting the people, then you're not making it for, you know, for everyone. You're just making it for
accessibility. Yeah, after all, like, a person, it's different. Literally.
Yeah.
So they can afford whatever. And also they are different because different backgrounds, and they grow up in different things, different cultures, different things to get into games, for example. So I see this as a good thing, positive thing, to have diverse people. Again, if you have like a team full of, I don't know, let's imagine that you're a lead, for example, and you're hiring for your little team and everything, if you hire the same people, yeah, sure, that's it. But maybe if you hire different people, they can interact in different ways and they can create something more unique, for example. But yeah, diversity is key. Yeah.
It is a really, it is a key, definitely. And it is also like community and everything else. Like, we got each other, right? And yeah, I don't want to go too much into like AAA and AA stuff. Let's jump to the next question. Yeah, how like, are there any role models that, you know, you either right now have that you want to become or you used to have back in the day?
I don't have like one person, one role model in right now in mind. Like, I'm not trying to follow like something specific that someone does. Yeah. Just a little bit of gathering what I can get in order to progress what I need right now. For example, I could say like my role models at the moment, it's people from work, just because they are experienced and I'm trying to learn in my career, like at this stage of my career. So I'm trying to just listen to them and try to adopt like some behaviors, something, and just pick up a little bit the pace. Mm-hmm. That's true that I will sometime, like someday, I would like to talk, I don't know, just go to conferences and just share my knowledge with people. So yeah, I'm taking a look to role models like iconic faces or something. Mm. Just to get like some presentation skills or something in order to communicate in nice ways, but not someone very specific that I say, okay, I'm going to follow this person because I like everything that this person does. No, I wouldn't say I have one specific
it goes back to your skills as well. Like, you did not pick up one skill and you said, oh well, this is exactly what I pursue, right? It's
kind of, yeah,
it's very generalist. It's very like, this person has an interesting thing, that one has an interesting thing, I kind of want to like learn this and learn that.
yeah
So like, since we're talking about being a generalist, what would you say to people who are hearing this, who probably are lost right now because they are have such this like wide scope of skills, probably not very good at all of them, probably not specifically bad at all of them? What would you tell them?
I would say, like, first of all, if you have like many different backgrounds, many different knowledge, again, don't obsess with everything that exists. Just pick one thing, just go one thing at a time, one thing that you like or one thing that you need to progress in order to achieve a goal that you might like, a big goal, small goal, something. So just take it easy. Maybe you will see a person just doing backflips with softwares, parkour across workflows. And it's like, okay, no, I know you will get there, but first things first. So just take it easy, I would say, as general advice. Then a really important thing, when you have different knowledge and different backgrounds, it's easy to just have like different solutions for one problem, like across pipelines, across softwares and everything. And don't try to, okay, I found this solution, I will just get this solution working just because I know it works. Maybe there are easier solutions, not that overcomplicating solutions. So just, again, like, think, not saying that people don't think, but don't jump straightforward into the first thing that came to mind. So, because again, it can be easy to mix things, skills, tools, everything. And maybe with the person or the team you're working with, maybe they are not that much familiar with one specific branch of game dev that you might use for solving this problem, and they later on have to pick your work for whatever reason. So also, it's about accessibility, and you're working as a team. You're not alone unless you go full indie. But yeah, like, most of the time you're going to be working with teams, definitely. So try to get like simplified solutions. It's good having lots of knowledge, but know how to use it in order to just avoid burnout, for example, just too much. So just pace yourself, I would say.
And I also have a, like an answer. I want to bounce it off of you. And the way I go about, you know, when I see a person who's like probably lost, like we described, I would just say, you know, pick up a multidisciplinary skill, like such as VFX or game development, or procedural generation. Try it, make something really simple with it, and if you like the results, keep pursuing it. Because for me, I was stuck. Like, I was stuck for a while. I was like, yeah, well, I know a little bit about everything. I know about 3D, but I don't want to do rigging, right? Like, I'm not interested in rigging, not even slight. I tried to be interested in rigging. It wasn't for me. I needed instant result, right? And the instant result for me were visual effects. And I really enjoyed how you can jump between programs, and yet it still goes back to the engine. Like, say for example, you work on a texture, you go jump to your 2D program, you do the texture, then you jump back, and then it's already there. But with like 3D modeling, you kind of need to go through steps between programs, right? You do the modeling, the sculpting in another program, then, and it takes so long until you see the end result, and you probably need the rigger to do the rigging and the animator to do the animation, and then you get to see the end result. It's very this how to say you need
Many
to
steps, I would say, to get what you need or what you're pursuing.
very linear, yeah.
Yeah, so I know that sometimes when I'm trying to learn something and I want to skip these steps, for example, working in this little indie game, for example, doing all the code and everything, and I want to try the game design. But for that, I need, I don't know, some animation. Sometimes it's not needed when it's like block outs and everything. But when animations need to be, I don't know, considered and everything, it's like, okay, I'm not going to, I don't want to say waste, but I'm not going to use my time that I want to use for game design into rigging and just creating an animation. So sometimes I go to public resources like Mixamo, for example. I download the skin, not the skin, sorry, the skeleton with all the animation, everything painted, and I just put it in the game. And it's like, okay, that works as a placeholder. It doesn't have to be crafted like everything from scratch in order to see what, I don't know, after three processes.
You're absolutely right. Even like most games that you like, if the viewer is listening to this, right? Most games that you will work on will be prototypes. There will be placeholders there. All the weapons effects will be placeholders. None of them will be the final effect. And you kind of need to figure out, like, with your art director and everything, like, how is this supposed to look like? But yeah, about your indie game. When did you start?
So officially, I would say like 2 years ago, something like that. Just right after university and when I was working in my previous job, it was like, okay, no more uni, no more classes, no more teachers. I need to keep up like my coding skills or something, and I wanted to create like something small. So I started doing something small. Then of course that just, I mean, I had like a wish list of things like every game dev does, like that would be awesome to include. That would be awesome. It's like, okay, so let's try to. I had like an idea in the back of my head about an experience that I wanted to transmit to other people, and then I just thought like, okay, why not using it to gamify it and creating a game out of it. So I started with that, and then I tried to just follow like some structure. Okay, first of all, minimal design without getting obsessed, like, okay, everything, like I need to have like a full game design document, level design document. No, like it's a little bit of alternating between things and just seeing things that work also online. So I started a little bit with this. I did like a basic game design. It's not even complete nowadays. I just keep iterating, but I have the main idea. And then I jumped like last year into starting making a prototype, which is the main objective. No art, just placeholder, a block out. Probably what I'm doing is placeholder dialogues, just also just keeping the direction that I want to follow, of course, with the narrative structure that I built, and just trying to make it fun, the dynamics, all the mechanics and everything, and the level progression. So, but again, always one thing at a time and trying.
Wow, that's like the hardest part of a game is to make it fun, honestly. Because in your head, it's fun. I mean,
yeah, but it's like iteration after iteration after iteration, like trying things and yeah, a bit of trial and error, I would say, based on what you see that it works sometimes. It also, like, depending on your approach, I would say I'm not making a game to ship it for now. Like, I
You're
just want
learning.
to, yeah, I'm learning, I'm using it as well to practice my coding skills so it doesn't, I don't forget about those. So that's also cool. But yeah, I'm making it just on my own. Whenever I have the energy, I can pick it up and then just work a little bit on it.
I'm always amazed, like, with people like you. Like, how can you organize your time and be able to
Well,
be
I'm
like,
trying
oh, I'm gonna pick up the game that I just started
to.
today. Like, I'll probably forget about it, you know?
Yeah, again, like it's all about balancing the energy through the week.
Yeah,
Like,
okay, that's an interesting way to put it. Tell me
I
about
just make
that.
it sound really easy, but no, it is not. It's practice and dedication, like, yeah, and understanding that, yeah, you need rest. You need to just go out there and just, I don't know, make friends, just play basketball, like in my case. But yeah.
Wow. This is
Yeah.
so hard to balance, honestly. Like, and I think you're doing such a good job. Like, a lot of people
Thank
just
you.
fall into this, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna make it work. This tenacity, right? Like, they forget even to eat, or they forget to probably just do a bit of stretching, or like, by time you will see them, like, literally their body's
Become
becoming
dead. I need to
and
sleep.
yeah, or they
Yeah.
forget to sleep, exactly. And even when they
Yeah.
go on social interaction, they're like all agitated and anxious. And nothing against those people, but like, you can see the lack of balance, like, you, like, even in your life, you're expected to be a generalist in some sort, and you cannot be a true generalist without like being able to balance and like master the skill of time management. So what
Yep,
are your
I like my
tricks?
comparison. Yeah.
What
Yeah,
are you?
sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, what are your tricks to time manage?
To time manage, well, first of all, I was awful on that. I was just, yeah. I needed to practice again, lots of advice from my mentor. And
Production. Shout out.
yeah. But no, I would say like my trick is basically whenever I feel like tired or if I'm not going to obligate myself to the certain things that I would like to if I don't have the energy for it.
That's cool.
Yeah, like if I'm not, maybe I would have like many different ideas for my game, for my indie game. It's like, okay, it's Saturday, it's 11 a.m. I just got inspired. I'm really tired. I've been working hard during the week. I will take it easy for today. Maybe I will write something down, like the idea, so they don't get lost in thought. Or I will pick it up when, I don't know, maybe one day I just did a nice work at work. It was not highly stressing and everything. I did lots of socializing, so you can balance a little bit, like hormones and everything. It's all about boost, energy boosts. So you can maybe pick it up some days when you feel like doing it. But
So
yeah.
basically you're asking yourself, okay, like, how am I feeling? Am I feeling balanced today? Like, was it do I have like my needs met? And then you can pick it up. But do you have
Yeah.
like a rule a month, like how many times you visited the project, or?
I do have like schedules as well. I don't want to abandon it. Like, no, I will wait until I feel better. No, I mean, I also want to do it. So, yeah, I try to get into it like at least twice per month. Like, and when I say twice per month, it's like two sessions, like maybe 3 4 days implementing one thing. And then I implement a feature, something, a gameplay thing. For example, I iterate my dialogue system, for example. I make sure it works, I'm happy, and then I just rest a little bit. Some days I have to leave things broken because, well, I can't fix it. I don't have the energy. Complicated weeks, but yeah, I try to be like regular, like just getting into it. And eventually, after some time, I will get a prototype.
Yeah, so what I always say is, progress is a multiplier. So if you have like per month have done nothing, zero, that's multiplied by zero, and you have done like nothing. But if even if you've done 0.5 or like let's say 1.1, 1.5, you have still made progress,
It's
right?
something.
And anything counts. Any little thing counts, but it has to be like that one thing. It can't be half-assed thing. It has to be like at least like 5 minutes. Let's say 5 minutes a month is still better than 0 minutes a month, right?
Definitely.
So you kind of like motivation is I think what people like need to understand is that motivation it's a given that it will go up and it will go down, right? You either
It's
time,
always roller coaster.
yeah, it's a roller coaster. You either time it when it's up, or you time it, you know, that no matter if it's up or down, the minimum thing that I need to do for the goal is regardless of these up and downs, right? So it's so minimum. It's like 5 minutes of stretching, whatever it is that you want to do. It has to require zero motivation, or that little motivation, because there will be days like where it's just gonna be like a horrible thing, right? You cannot do anything today. That's it, and that's fine. Then just quit it for the day. But if you really want to learn something, you want to learn a new skill, or you want to be consistent, I guess is the word, do it regardless of motivation and make it so small that it's like a nugget, right? Like you could just eat it like a little piece of candy, basically.
Yeah, I would say it's a balance between just being consistent and also I don't want to say making it a discipline, but like you have to be in track basically and just don't abandon things if you want to do something.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you kind of like
Yeah.
it's a goal, right? Everybody has a like they have a goal to chase, right? And it could be different things. It could be game dev, it could be tech art, it could be like me, for example. I do podcast and streaming. Speaking of which, I can see that you in the video that we're showing, you're streaming, or what was that?
Oh, because of the microphone.
I've seen it in the display right now of the things that we're showing. Sometimes you're commentating. Is that a tutorial
Oh,
that you're making,
no,
or?
I'm literally just with the camera open, no streaming, no.
Oh wait, but it shows it in the video that we're playing. I'm gonna tell it when it's showing, okay?
Oh, maybe because it's I have Discord open.
No, absolutely not. No. So in the video you gave me that we're showing right now, sometimes you appear with a
Oh, sorry.
cam and a
Okay,
mic.
no. Okay, I know what you're meaning to. Like the last part of the video, I was a bit confused
It's okay.
for a second. No, that was a level design project for university. And then by that time, yes, I was streaming. That's a side thing. I was playing some Apex Legends and
Oh.
Rocket League by then.
Okay.
But no, that was just a project. It was in group. It was not like just me doing it, but it was block out and yeah, level design for university. But yeah, it had like the OBS streaming.
Yeah. Cool. It looked like you know, you were like teaching online or something. So I was a bit curious. But it's cool. So yeah, we're reaching the last like 5 minutes. I wanted to ask you like if there's anything you would like to add or like promote.
Well, just I mean that was lots of advice I would say based on my experience. But I would say like game jams. Like I really like them. I can't wait to have more time to just get out there with people that I already know from the industry and just do a little game and just in 3 days because that's also a really nice exercise. You have a goal, you have a deadline, maybe it's like 3 days game jam. So that's also very, very good exercise also for socializing, crafting something small, priorities, not overcomplicating. So yeah, I just wanted to share that. I'm quite excited to get that again. But
Do you
yeah.
do your game jams physically, right? Or is it a remote
I
one?
try to. Some of them I participated while COVID and everything, also mentoring them, the students and everything. But now I'm living in the UK and sometimes I participate in Spanish game jams from my university. So
Cool.
I would really like to go there and just talk to students in person because I like it. And it's more, I don't know, friendly. They can see my expressions, the way I communicate. Maybe some people are scared about feedback. So no, it doesn't have to be scary.
It's I think what you're doing is very important, and I'll leave some of the like how can people reach you in the description if you know if they live in the UK or you know they're looking for someone to talk to or advice, whatever, they could reach out to you. I'll just pivot a little bit to the viewer and say, hey, thank you so much for reaching that thus far. You know, leave a comment of what you think about this episode or whatever. Do whatever you want. I'll see you in the next one. All right. Yeah. Bye, everyone.